Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Ready for the afternoon push here? I'll see if I can make it interesting for you, keep you awake. First of all, I want to acknowledge all of you. We're on the front lines with these kids, and they talk so much about their rehab and their physical therapy when I work with them with injuries. I had a girl in today who was, she's 2 weeks out of ACL surgery, and all she could talk about how she couldn't wait to go quit doing in-home therapy and go see her PT tomorrow and work with her athletic trainer so she can get back and play her sports again. And so we collectively, surgeons, physical therapists, athletic trainers, people like me, you know, we collaborate to get these kids back where they want to be. So I want to acknowledge each of you and just tell you how important you are. And because I hear it every day, PTs, my athletic trainers, so thank you very much. I wish I would have had guys like you around when I was in high school. Actually, my injury started in seventh grade. I grew 8 or 9 inches 1 year and had Osgood-Slaughter's disease in seventh grade and missed the whole year of sports. And it was a real critical time in my life because my parents were going through a divorce, which was World War III in my home every day, every night. And my mother ended up being suicidal. And I didn't have sports. You know, I was on the sidelines watching, which I believe that being on the sidelines watching is the loneliest place in the world for an athlete. And they tell me that every day when I, and so I didn't have sports. And so I go to ninth grade, break my right arm, separate my left shoulder, and have a concussion. Ninth grade, I tore 3 ligaments in the meniscus, ruptured the patellar tendon, the fluid capsule in my right knee in November and came back in August. I don't know how I did that. And I got inducted in my high school's Athletic Hall of Honor a few years back, and my high school football coach introduced me and said, well, they told us Robert wasn't supposed to play sports anymore. Well, this was back in the 70s. Nobody bothered to tell me that. So I just worked my butt off and came back. Opened debridement when I was 27, total knee replacement surgery 6.5 years ago. 3, maybe 4 concussions. So my body's been banged up. You know, but anybody can help me with my shoulders, see me afterwards. But my point of that is I wish I would have had somebody like me around when I was in high school and college, because it just, I say it's like getting hit in the stomach with a shovel over and over again, over and over again. And like I'll talk about in a minute, these injuries become psychologically cumulative and they just keep taking their toll. And when I was growing up, guys and girls like me that had injuries that had a hard time coming back were called head cases. Y'all still hear that term? I hope not. You know, I hope not, because I'm going to explain brain functioning to you today. And they are not head cases. Their brain is actually doing its job and to try to prevent them from getting injured. So how many of you, stand up if you've had a serious sports-related injury? Stand up if you've had a serious sports-related injury. Stand up, stay standing up, and stand up if you've witnessed a pretty horrific sports-related injury on your watch. Wow. Now, the last one, keep standing. How many of you have been through a traumatic incident, like a bad car wreck or something like that? If you're not standing and that fits you, stand up. Just about, what would you say, 90% of the people in the room at least have been through some kind of trauma. You've either experienced it or you've witnessed it, right? Well, let's look at what's happening. So what's going on here? You see this. What's going on in this picture? Probably an ACL, maybe worse. But what's the athlete doing? Career ending. What else is going through their mind here? Why me? Hear that a lot. Can I go back in? This guy, I don't think so. Yeah. Would you say maybe they're holding on for dear life? I think that holding on to a helmet is a universal sign of distress. And if they don't wear helmets, they hold on to something else, a teammate, a trainer. They're holding on for dear life because everything is slipping away. Scholarships, position on the team, identity, connection, passions, is slipping away. And they're literally holding on for dear life. Impact of injuries add up. I used to write for the National Athletic Trainers Association. They sent me all these wonderful photos of injured athletes. You know, for me, I had one injury and my brain stored that away because it doesn't file it away. Like if I ask you, what did you have for lunch 7 weeks ago on a Tuesday? Can you tell me? Those experiences of being injured and witnessing injuries, you remember them, right? And you have images in your mind. You can still see that knee dislocated or that arm sticking out to the right, right? Well, because the brain processes that information differently than it does everyday experiences, and those store up in the limbic system. And then you have the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and they layer in the limbic system in the brain, and it builds and it builds. And so the kid's not thinking about playing sports anymore. They're thinking about not getting injured. And so that's why it's important to process traumatic information in the brain. So they're not just physical injuries. Old school was tear your ACL, get surgery, go do rehab, go play. That's how it was with me. I was in a cast for 6 weeks. They cut the cast on two sides, pry it off, my legs this big around, and I fainted on the table. Boom. You know, because I was a good athlete. You know, and I thought, I couldn't even process it. My brain just checked out. So things to look for, or what they experience, is intense pain, obviously. Surges of intense emotions, surges of adrenaline, cortisol, norepinephrine, stress-related hormones that fire up the brain and get it into that fight or flight. Intrusive thoughts of and images, those are called holographic imprints. I'll talk about those in a minute. All kinds of losses, playing time, the season, position, connection to the team, identity, career. I had the University of Texas, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, really good schools looking at me. And then the word got out about how bad my knee was. And the most painful thing was getting those letters. It said, we regret to inform you we're not going to be able to offer you that scholarship. I still have one from the University of Texas, you know, eaten up by roaches or something. But I know where it is. You know, it hurt. I was lost there. Surgery, fear, anxiety, anger, confusion. How many athletes do you think are terrified going into surgery? How many of them talk about it? Not very many. And it's rare if I can see an athlete before surgery, but I do. Dr. Lowe and his staff send me a ton of athletes, and every now and then I get to see one before surgery, and their brain going into surgery calm is a game changer. So we process their rational and irrational fears about surgery before they ever go into surgery. Facing the rehab process. I have a girl I'm working with now, tore left AC, soccer player, surprise. 2 weeks after she was released, she tears the right one. You hear that story a lot, right? And her whole deal is, here I go again. I got to gear up and do this another 9 months. Here I go again. Learning to trust their body again, sleep disturbances, hypervigilance, changes in personality. You see your athletes, literally, they're not the same kid. They get quiet, they withdraw, they're anxious, maybe they're angry, defiant. And then, of course, fear of re-injury, right? So I treat it like a trauma, okay? I did years of training with people that have been involved in domestic violence, serious fatal, near fatal automobile accidents. I had a mountain climber fell off a cliff and landed on a ledge and laid there with a broken leg for 9 hours before a helicopter spotted him. Women that almost gave birth to almost died giving birth. And then about 12 years ago, I was at lunch with Steve Ammeter, who used to be athletic director and head football coach down at Friendswood, who just left Hutto ISD, and I was explaining how there's a mental, emotional, and psychological component to injuries. And I explained, you know, that they get hurt, they're evaluated by the trainer, the doctor, they go through surgery, and then all this stuff, I explained all that. I said, who helps them with that? He said, nobody. So he sent me my first athlete in 2006 or so. And it was a 6'4", 290-pound offensive lineman that wanted to skip the scrimmage coming up the next week because he had torn his ACL against that team the year before. And he told me he was going to act sick because he was terrified of getting hurt again. That was the first athlete I worked with, and the treatment protocol worked, and I knew I was on to something there. So I treat it like a trauma. So brain functioning, you've heard of the limbic system, reptilian brain, the primitive brain. That's the part of the brain that gets activated in these serious sports-related injuries. One part is the hippocampus, It's associated with memory, past and present memory. It decreases in volume, with decreases in volume, it diminishes his ability to distinguish between what happened in the past and what's happening now and what might happen in the future. That's what fear of re-injury is all about. That part of the brain thinks it's always going to happen and is looking. Where's the next hit coming from? If I throw that curveball and I feel that pop, when's it going to happen again? Because this part of the brain can't figure it out, thinks it's always going to happen again. Prefrontal cortex regulates emotional responses with information sent from the amygdala. Sensitivity and associated movement, sound, situations, cues, triggers, the sound of how quiet it is on the field when a kid gets hurt, or the lights in the stadium, or the smell of the grass on the field when they're laying there face down with a broken ankle. The brain is taking that information in and filing it away. The incident triggers the brain and sees this connected to the original injury, incidents are triggers. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I work with one kid who remembers a blue jersey coming out of him, the guy slung off a block, and he just remembers a streak of blue hitting him in the knee. That was one of his holographic imprints. So these parts of the brain, they grab that information and hold on to it. Now here's the critical one, the amygdala. It processes information. There's two that sit right above your eyes. They're connected to the optic nerves in the eye, and I'll show you a really cool diagram in a minute. But they process emotion, and they take everything in, and they make it makes a simple interpretation. Is what I'm experiencing safe, or is it threatening? And if it says it's safe, it sends the all clear button, and everything calms down. And if it says it's threatening, then it fires up the other parts of the amygdala, of the limbic system, and says, what was it, and when did this happen before? And that's what that alligator arms, when they've gotten ripped over the middle on a pass by a safety, or if you tell them, okay, now I want you to start planting and cutting, and they plant the way that they tore their ACL, that part of the brain fires and says, I don't think so. So these are the three different components of the brain. The little blue dot there, it's what really causes all the problems, the amygdala. And like I said, there's two of them. Looks like a pair of eyes. That's the frontal view. They see everything you see. They experience everything you experience. They take in sight, sound, taste, color, perception, pain, consequence, temperature, pressure, and looks for anything in the future that might be remotely associated with that, so it can guarantee that you don't get hurt again or your athlete hurt again. And that's why I say, they're not head cases. It's this part of the brain is actually doing its job. And we have to teach the brain how to process that traumatic information so they can just go play volleyball or football or soccer or play baseball, whatever it might be. Any questions so far? Making sense? You seeing some of this in a little bit different lens of perception? That's what I want. When you go back to work, I want you to see things through a different lens of perception. Because these injuries are not just physical in nature. Warning signs to look for. Any of them show up as shut down, quiet, they're just not the same kid, they turn inward, you see that? Changes in their social life or their personal life. Loss of drive and passion. Anxiety. Favoring the injured area, hesitation. Avoidance of returning to training. Fear, anger, depression, you see those? They're not the same kid. So is it safe to say that traumatic injuries change personality as well? Big time they do. I had a high school volleyball player tore her ACL, and I got her a year after her surgery. She had been through surgery, rehab, and was playing again, but she was afraid to land on that knee. And the really interesting thing about this girl, she had a great voice and she was always singing. But her mother said from the day she got hurt until we started working together, she quit singing. She would run around the house, going up and downstairs, always singing. And so I think I saw her like three times. And the next week her mother calls and says, she's playing great. She's landing on both legs and one leg and she's confident. But the most amazing thing is she came downstairs this morning and she was singing again. So what does that tell you? By processing the trauma of the injury, that authentic personality is restored. I hear that all the time. I got my kid back. Thank you so much. I got my son back. I got my daughter back. big time changes in personality. Questions so far? That always means I'm doing a really good job or a really bad job. Which is it? There's no questions. I hope it's a good job. So, imagery and injuries. What the heck does imagery have to do with sports injuries? Holographic imprintings, these snapshots. If you think back to the time when you were injured, some of those bad injuries as you walked up and kind of threw you back a little bit, those snapshots, the limbic system in the brain takes pictures, and then it starts loading them up with information. All the senses are involved. Memory is present on a sensory, visual, and emotional level. And the more intense the injury, the more images that they seem to have. Like I worked with a baseball center fielder who's running down a fly ball, and just as he's about to catch it, he collides with the left fielder. Tore his ACL, his teeth came through his bottom lip, broke his nose, knocked him out. Think if there's anything else. And so he comes in to see me because guess who wouldn't run down fly balls in the outfield? Huh? Not with a set, yeah. Or any left fielder for that matter. But this kid had 8 images in his mind. One was waking up and the trainer standing there going, "You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay." And he just read them and knew that was wrong. And then the other was them carrying him off the field. And the worst one was seeing his face the next morning in the mirror for the first time. When his lips had come through his face and his eyes were just black and purple. So we worked on 2 of those images. That's all we needed to work on. Once I work on, I'll tell you what that means in a minute. We processed the trauma around those 2 images and the other 6 just dissolved. He went out and he starts running down fly balls in the outfield again. The more images involved with more intense injuries like that kid. I saw a kid last week that had 1 image. And theirs was sitting on the sidelines watching, which is a common image with every single injured athlete I work with. And like I said, that's the loneliest place in the world for these athletes. All right, this is a visual that might help you. So with performance, there's a sense of self-confidence, a connection, a belief in themselves. There's an emotional component, what they're feeling. There's a mental component, what are they thinking, their attitude, their perception about things. And then there's a physical, strength, power, balance, conditioning. And we call that being centered, right? I work to get athletes centered. In the performance work that I do, that's all we talk about, is getting centered. If you get off mentally, I can't, I'll never, I have to, I suck, I hate pitching against it or hitting against this guy, I can't stand playing over there, then we do a lot of work of correcting things to get them back centered again. Because if you don't learn how to correct your mindset and become more mindful, then those thoughts get fueled up with emotion. And then the athlete starts struggling. And then if it goes out there far enough, eventually self-confidence is gone. Nothing happens here. Nothing changed talent-wise. But because of change in thinking, attitude, perception, and emotional reaction to that, self-confidence is diminished big time. And this is why athletes struggle from a mental perspective. Now let's look at injuries. Boom, there goes that broken ankle, shoulder separation that requires surgery, Tommy John, knee injuries. Is there a mental component to that? Absolutely. Is there an emotional component to that? Yeah. And you bet it affects self-confidence and passion and belief in who they are. So they go through surgery and they're in the rehab process. And the old school says, everything's fine. Go back, Robert, and play with that terrible triad that they used to call it back in the 70s. Go play. Go throw that curveball or that slider. Yeah, and be sure it spike that outside hitter, spike the ball that you broke your ankle on. Okay, go do that. So this is old school, but what we're working on now is a different paradigm that says, well, let's look at the mind and let's look at the emotions and let's restore the spirit and the confidence of that kid, and then they're centered again. They might still be rehabbing, but there's a developmental process where they become whole again. and confidence shoots through the roof, and they believe in themselves. And most importantly, they trust their knee or their ankle or their arm again. Does a visual help? We talk a lot about breathing and getting centered. Try that when you're driving in Houston sometimes. I'm not going to honk at them. I'm going to breathe and get centered again. Try it. It works. I do it all the time. Because it will drive you crazy if you let it. All right, pre-surgery treatment. Getting the brain ready for surgery. Minimize the production of stress hormones. Go into surgery much calmer. I've seen two or three in the last couple of weeks. They're getting ready to have surgery. And they weren't freaked out about it. Pressing rational and irrational fears. What are some irrational fears that you might think a kid might have going into surgery? Wake up during surgery. Hear it all the time. Yeah. This surgery on the wrong leg, exactly. Or the wrong ligament. Or what if I'm just enough asleep, but I'm not asleep enough and I can feel everything they're doing and they don't know it? Tell me that all the time. Waking up during surgery, operating on the wrong knee, not having enough anesthesia, and being aware of what is happening. Real common stories. How would you like to go into surgery like that? Your brain's freaking out, producing all these stress hormones. Do you think that could create more pain? Yeah. Fear of loss. Will I never be the same? So we talk about that too. The girl today, 2 weeks out of ACL surgery. This wasn't pre, I saw her pre-surgery and she did pretty well, but now it's about everybody's going to pass me up. 9 months, I'm going to fall so far behind everybody. So pre-surgery treatment. Now the injury treatment, eidetic imagery or re-scripting. I have them go back through the play that they got hurt and in slow motion change the outcome. You planted your leg and you got hit and boom, next thing you know, you're down on the field. Or you threw a slider and felt a pop. Well, we go through it in slow motion and have them change the outcome where they don't get hurt. And there's a certain number of days that they have to do that re-scripting, and a certain number of times a day, especially in the morning and at night, because that's when the unconscious mind is most easily influenced. So after 3 days of that, their brain focuses on the new image. I planted, and I hurtled over the guy. Or I planted, and I didn't feel the pop. Or I threw, and I threw a strike. But they're doing this in slow motion, very, very slow motion. It gives the brain a new target or image to focus on. 22 years after I had knee surgery, I still had a negative image. It was right here all the time. 22 years later. And it was of me laying face down on the football field down in Friendswood, Texas. 22 years. And when I started learning this stuff, I process it. Now when I go back to the play, my body wants to lean forward. And I smile because I hurtled over the guy that tried to block me. And I cut up field and I made a tackle. That's the first thing that pops into my mind now. If I look for the old image, it's Mustang Stadium at sunset, but I'm not laying on the field anymore. So that image that haunted me for 22 years, I can't even find anymore. It's a very powerful process. I work with injured athletes all over the world, Australia, Canada, South Africa. And so most of the time, I don't get to see them one-on-one, so we just do an injury evaluation and eidetic imagery. And most of them do very, very well just using the imagery work. Have you ever heard of EMDR? Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing? I think it is the most powerful trauma tool out in the planet right now. And I've used it for 23 years. It has to do with rapidly stimulating the right and left hemispheres of the brain with either light and eye movement or sound and vibrations in the hand or some combination thereof. Right? And so you have them focus on that horrific image, the emotions, the negative thinking in their mind. They always have some kind of sensation in their body, a knot in their stomach or their chest. And then we start processing using the eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And I call it, it's like the metaphor is like we're going on a train ride. And they have the window seat and I have the aisle seat and I can't see out the window. So it takes about an hour, sometimes an hour and 15 minutes. And they are working their butts off just doing this. And I've actually had them, I had a wrestler that got pinned and looked up and his arm was sticking out this way. And this was like 3 weeks ago. We did EMDR for the first time. And when he was finished, he said, "I feel so relaxed." I said, "Well, go to sleep." He fell asleep and went up, got his parents, and he woke up and he said, "God, I just feel so relaxed." So she's over there, I'm running her credit card, and we look over, the kid's asleep again. And they usually sleep the whole way home because their brain is working to process this information and the imagery and the pain and the consequence and the emotions. And it so it teaches the limbic system, particularly the amygdala, how to process trauma very, very, very quickly. With ACL injuries, it's like three sessions and they're like different kids. It's just a remarkable process. I did EMDR on my knee injury 20-something years later. And I was shocked at how much fear and sadness and terror I still had in my brain and my body all those years later. Three steps to treatment. Pre-surgery treatment. Treat the specific issues related to the injury. I call it the point in time. If it's a specific point in time injury, you know what I mean by that? Something happened, there was an injury versus overtime. Overtimes are a little bit different to treat. And then the third step is treat future fears, blocks, and concerns about coming back. Can I really trust my body again? Am I really going to work my way back into that, onto my team or my position? And I help them learn from the experience. Like the girl today, I said, "You're 2 weeks out of ACL surgery. You know, you can't push the river. It's a process. It's a process. You can suffer for the next 9 months, or you can start learning about yourself and grow from the experience. What do you want to do?" So I had looked at it that way, because he was mad and angry and impatient, and my PTs aren't going to know what they're going to talk about, because you know nobody wants to work as hard as I do. I said, "Well, you go do that for 9 months, and then come back and see me. Or you can learn and grow and develop parts of your personality that maybe you've never had to develop had you not had this injury." She said, "Well, that sounds a lot better. So we're going to go up that route." Become a better person. I've actually had athletes tell me, "I never thought I'd say this, but I'm glad the injury happened. I'm a better person. I've learned a lot about myself through this process." They acquired traits, qualities, and attributes that maybe they never would have had to use. They learn patience, which is especially with knee injuries. That's critical that they learn patience, because it's such a long rehab. It's getting shorter because of great surgery and great people like you, which the brain doesn't have as long to process what they've been through, the shorter the rehab period gets, which is interesting. They see the big picture. You know, when I had knee replacement surgery, it was fire my quad. That was my workout. Oh, and then I got to step over a cone. Woohoo! Yeah. Patience, it's a process. And develop resilience. We don't have enough resilient kids these days. Concussions. Now, before I say anything about concussions, a lot of times people freak out. What's he doing with concussions? It is critically necessary that concussed athletes see a concussion specialist. Okay? I'm not that guy. Okay? Well, what I have learned about concussions, that there's a psychological component of concussions, just like an ACL injury. It stimulates the same part of the brain. Imagery, and if they don't remember, they remember what somebody told them. So have them work with their doctor, whoever it is, do their impact testing, do their vestibular rehab and all that. And if it's really bad, there's other options to help facilitate that process. This is not the answer, but I think it'd be a supplement to the answer. And if you know any doctors who want to research, because I've asked three in Houston to research with me, and two of them won't talk to me. Isn't that crazy? And one sends me all kinds of people, and they get better, most of them, unless they have the really bad headaches. This doesn't seem to help for whatever reason. Sometimes they remember what happened, sometimes they don't. They form imagery around what they were told. It's not obvious. It's not like walking around with your arm in a sling. You can't see a concussion. So it's easier for people to make fun of them, and you need to suck it up and get out there. Or it's easier for them to play with a concussion, which is incredibly dangerous. Confused, foggy-headed, performance suffers. And what I see all the time, I've had kids come to see me for performance issues, and they're just not tracking me in our conversation. There's a delay, and they're looking at me funny, and I ask them a question, and I go, "Have you ever had a concussion?" That's not why they're there, but "Have you ever had a concussion?" "Well, yeah." "How'd you know?" I said, "Because you're not with me. You're not tracking the conversation. Their anxiety around performance is because their brain isn't processing information fast enough. The game's gotten too fast for them. Feedback's gotten to where it overwhelms them too much. So when you calm the limbic system down, a lot of that goes away. A lot of it goes away. Okay, I have permission to work with it. Let's use this girl's image. She is was a college volleyball player who took an elbow to the head. All right, what do you see? Anything jump out at you? This was pre-treatment. Eyes look a little dull. Mm-hmm. One eye looks smaller than the other. Does your face look a little rounded and puffy maybe? Pale? Okay, now this is an hour later. I heard a wow, what did you see? Does your face look like it elongated some? Not as rounded, not as puffy? Look how bright the eyes are and clear. Now, do you think that this, was there emotion involved in this for her? You doggone right there was. And so her limbic system downloaded all the emotion and the fear. Is my career over? Am I ever going to be the same? Can I study again without getting headaches? And whatever was going on with her, and things calmed down for her. I love those eyes. I always see that with injured athletes. Their cheeks get red and their eyes clear up, whether it's a concussion or a knee injury. And I think it's because the limbic system relaxes and increases blood flow and nerve flow in the brain. All right, home stretch here. I started with Dr. Lowe because they asked me to work with Case Keenum back when he was at U of H 10 years ago, maybe. I think this is his 8th year in the pros. And so, obviously, Case did pretty well with his ACL injury, I think. Made it to the NFC Finals last year. He said he didn't even think about it. I still talk to him all the time. Didn't even think about his knee. He just plays.